we're going to kick him in the ass. We're going to kick the hell out of him all the time, and we're going to go through him like crap through a goose.
From the expat home of the resistance, it's the Bill Show. And now, brothers and sisters in solidarity, here's Bill and Randy.
Hello, Randy.
You're back.
I'm back.
God.
And I survived.
Yeah.
I survived Trumpistan.
Yeah, but Randy's I got to fill these people in. Randy's been in America. He went back home.
Oh, yes, I had to.
How was it?
There were bushfires, and my parents played their greatest hits.
Oh, really?
And I don't just mean music.
You're in a Fox News bunker, aren't you?
My mother watches Fox News.
Yeah.
She's rusted on. Not just the television, but she herself is rusted.
Resistance is futile.
She admits she voted for Trump, and she still doesn't know why.
Yeah.
But she says it was our turn. It was our turn.
It
was our turn, meaning conservatives.
Oh, really? They're in turns now.
It was our turn, yeah. We needed a good businessman to get us out of the trouble that Obama left us in.
You know, I couldn't sit around that. I really couldn't sit around that.
And my father said similar things, but
I'd end up putting my head in the microwave. I really would. Well, I swear to God. Yeah,
except it doesn't work unless you shut the door.
Damn it.
I've tried it.
I put your mother in the microwave. I don't know, man.
No, I don't think you'd notice the difference. Honestly.
Your mother's a beautiful person, I'm sure.
No, well, what's left. A lot of bushfires around where I'm from, Santa Barbara. You probably seen a few of them.
Yeah, and
around L.A. In fact, when we landed, we actually drove up the 405 through a fire.
Oh.
It was climbing the hillside to the Getty.
Oh, my God.
But, just grass fire. I don't really think it would have threatened anything. But, the bombers and the helichoppers are going overhead while we're stuck in traffic on the 405. And I'm thinking, I've seen this movie, and it doesn't end well.
No, it doesn't end well. It's a Roland Emmerich film, by the way. It's actually a Roland Emmerich film.
Just standard Roland Emmerich.
I was
hoping for Stargate. I was hoping for Stargate, and I got 2012.
Yeah, you got 2012. It's happening here in New South Wales now. it's fires are going to be expected because that's what we call climate change.
Yeah, and you know what? I gained weight. I didn't think a fat person could get fatter.
Oh, my God.
To America.
Yeah. What's it like?
I went, the first thing I did.
Yeah.
You saw this picture. You saw the photo evidence.
Yes.
The first thing I did when I got off the plane in L.A. is I went to Randy's Donuts.
Randy's Donuts.
Since 1962.
Yeah.
And just next to the San Diego freeway is this enormous donut.
Are they good?
It's huge.
Donuts, though?
They're good. Yes, they are good.
Good. I like my lard to be, really well cooked.
Well, I mean, I've got particular tastes which aren't met in Australia. Like, I love a buttermilk cruller, like Eddie M made for Dorothy.
Yeah.
I like this new craze called the Cronut, which is basically a donut made with milfoil croissant pastry, So it's actually quite a unique beast. Come on. What's the matter with you?
I don't know. I think America,
but I also,
America is constantly figure out new and creative ways to, put butter in shit. Butter and salt. That's all it is,
And sugar and sugar and sugar and sugar
and sugar and sugar and, glucose.
And I went to, there's a new cafe in Santa Barbara called the Creole Kitchen.
Ooh, was it nice?
Not Creole Kitchen, Cajun Kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you can have jambalaya for breakfast. And I'm going, I mean, that's kind of jambalaya is like the Cajun version of paella.
Fantastic. Okay, yeah, well, and, you know, I'd go on with you, but
I did a whole website. I mean, a whole page on U.S. food porn. We went to the 24-hour donut shop in Polk Street, San Francisco.
Yeah,
called Bob's All Night Donuts.
Guys, you may have thought that this was a political show, but no, it's not. It's a food show.
It is a political.
Go
it's
ahead.
An indictment.
No, really,
it's an indictment. It's an indictment. There was a they had a donut there.
Yeah,
12 inches in diameter.
Oh my fucking lord!
And it was like an Idiot's Delight challenge. If you could eat that, you didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
No, nobody'd ever lost. I mean, nobody'd ever won because it was just too big.
Yeah. Breaded circuses, baby. Breaded circuses.
Well, it's all bread. The circus is for jerkus.
The circus never stops, and the donuts are practically free. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bill Show.
Thank you. And I'm here all week.
You've got some places to go for food when you go to San Diego. That's where you went, right? San Diego?
No, Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara. You know.
Yeah, and you know what? You know what?
What?
I was going nuts.
Going.
I was going absolutely nuts.
Yes.
And that's not a very long trip for me.
Yeah. Why were you going nuts?
Oh, just my mother constantly, you know, playing the greatest hits. Everything was because I took my wife and youngest daughter too. So everything was prefaced with when Randy was young.
Oh dot, God.
Dot, dot. Don't you hate it? Oh fuck. So we
when
went to
he was a little boy. Isn't that right, Randy?
Yeah. We went to Yosemite for 3 days. And we went to San Francisco for 3 days.
Right.
And I felt much, much better.
Yeah. Good.
Helen and Matilda went to Alcatraz, but unfortunately they let them out. But, you know, that was the things we did.
Any slides you want to show us?
Yeah, how am I going to do that, Billy? I did take
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Welcome to the Bill Show.
Well, that's all. Yeah,
that was 8 minutes about Randy's vacation, and
it wasn't a vacation; it was a chore.
Okay, chore. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we get together periodically to do a political show.
Yeah,
occasionally. And I'll tell you, there's a lot's been happening, but of course, the first thing.
No.
Yeah.
I did not meet one person besides my mother and father who actually would admit voting for Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But there's been a lot happening, so I'm going to do the intro now, okay? Ladies and gentlemen.
Let's do the intro. Yeah, no, come on. Let's go. You go for it.
Okay, I'll go for it. This is our intro for another week of Trump.
Oh, my God, please help Gloves me off. Knee deep in the river trying to get clean. He says, wash your hands, get out the stains, but you best believe, boy, there's hell to pay. Yeah, you best believe, boy, there's hell to pay, saying.
Robert Mueller's report leaves plenty of unanswered questions, but it also contains a lot of hard facts. 448 pages in all. It details 140 contacts between the Trump campaign and transition team and Russia and WikiLeaks. 30 of those contacts had not been reported before. 10 times the special counsel identified instances of possible obstruction, and there are still 14 open cases spun off from the Mueller investigation in the main.
Yes, Randy, it's another week for Donald Trump, but a lot of things have kind of caught my notice.
Anything at all?
Thank you for feeding me so well. Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm just curious because you know, where's that place where he goes? Doral.
Yeah, the Doral. You know, his country club. Yeah, where the elite meet to eat.
Where everybody you get as many bed bugs as you can.
That's right. It's a beautiful place. evidently what happened, you know, one of the guys I saw during the impeachment ceremony, I keep saying calling it
ceremony,
the impeachment proceeding. proceedings.
Hearings.
Yeah, hearings. And I watched them all, you know, and I did a little thing on it while you were away.
Well, you know, Val from Glen Falls, New York.
Yeah.
She said she watched them because she couldn't get to sleep, and it helped.
I thought they were amazing.
Hi, Val.
I'm that much of a political geek. Hi, Randy. But I'll tell you something. The thing that got me was watching Jeffries and watching Devin Nunez, alias the Peter Lorre of Washington, D.C.
Yes, he does.
My name is Devin Nunez, man.
Yeah, it's the Maltese Falcon, yeah.
Rick, you would find me repulsive.
Yes, he does. Devin Nunez spent the entire hearing basically making up this false narrative and bullying witnesses and everything. Well, something has come out in the last week that made me ever so happy, Randy. Listen to this.
Yeah, what was it?
I'm going to tell you.
Tell us.
It just tickled my political funny bone.
Go on. I would tickled your fanny.
A Giuliani associate is reportedly willing to tell Congress.
His own son.
Wait a minute. Let me say it. Giuliani associate is reportedly willing to tell Congress that Devin Nunez met with Ukrainians to get dirt on Biden and the Democrats.
Wow.
So listen to this. The Soviet-born businessman Lev Parnas of Igor and Lev fame. Check out their wonderful, wonderful new sitcom on Bill Show Vision. The Soviet-born businessman Lev Parnas is willing to tell Congress about meetings Representative Devin Nunes held with Ukrainians in Austria to dig up dirt. Parnas and Nunez began communicating roughly a year ago, and he tried to connect Nunez with Ukrainians who could help dig up dirt on former Vice President Joe Biden and other Democrats.
On Biden or his son?
Yeah, a year ago. He added
It's Hunter Biden.
He added that Parnas learned from the ex-Ukrainian officer Viktor Shokin that Nunez met with Shokin in Vienna last December.
The world's most livable city now, by the
way. So Devin is not just judging this thing. Devin is part of this thing. Now, here's the thing that links it all together for me. Now, this is something I floated on the last show, and I really do believe it's true. Look, all this shit on Biden, all this idea of getting dirt on Biden, this manufacturing shit, it's not Ukraine. It's Vladimir.
Vlad the Impaler.
It's Vladimir, man. This whole operation, this propaganda operation to dig up dirt on the Democrats and give him another, you know, kind of, you know, with the last campaign, it was the emails that they kept just throwing at Hillary. Well, what they need now for Joe is some sort of, you know, bullshit scandal. And that's what Russia is providing for Trump.
But who cares? And who cares?
Now, well, a lot of people do. This came out at Reuters recently. Indicted Giuliani associate worked on behalf of Ukrainian oligarch Firtash. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Dmitry Firtash. We did a thing on Dmitry Firtash in a show. You know, Dmitry Firtash is a very interesting guy, and I want to tell you a little bit of this. Came out
with a name like that, you'd have to be.
Yeah, he's a very interesting guy. He seems
to stop being bullied. You don't want to be bullied. Yeah,
but he's Hey, maybe he was bullied in school. I don't know. But
hey, Firtash.
But Dmitry.
Dmitry. Hey, Dimmy. Yeah.
What kind of a name is that?
Can I have some Dimmy.
All right, no, I got to be serious here. Come on.
Game face.
Dmitry Firtash is a guy who is very, very close. One of the former prosecutors in the Ukraine who were trying to clean up, you know, one of the things that Biden did when he was over there.
Hunter or the son?
No, the father.
When Joe Biden
was over there, as a representative of the Obama administration, to help clean up what had been a sewer of cash that was controlled by Vladimir Putin. Okay, yeah. The gas industry and the energy industries were infiltrated by oligarchs who owe their allegiance to Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
Okay. And so one of those oligarchs is a guy named Dmitry Firtash. And one of the former prosecutors in Ukraine described Dmitry as a direct line to Putin. He's Putin. He was Putin's guy in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
He was the guy that hired Paul Manafort to...
For $44
million. Yeah, to manage the election of the guy who was Putin's hand-picked puppet. He was the Kremlin-backed candidate that won in the last election and who was thrown out by the people because of corruption.
Yeah, because they really wanted the stand-up comedy guy.
Yeah, they really wanted... Are you kidding? Now, you're dealing with a country that, you know... by the way, this guy is a stand-up comic, behaved much more professionally than... Our stand-up
than anybody I've ever seen.
Our stand-up
in
comic.
In charge of a large country, yeah.
I'm not going to throw stones at Ukraine for having a stand-up comic, man.
No, he's great.
We got a friggin' clown. Great. Anyways, getting back to the thing is Dmitry Firtash.
Yeah, we've got clowns. They've got
That's right. Dmitry Firtash is a direct line to Vladimir Putin. And what we're finding out is Rudy Giuliani, Lev, and Igor... We're all
Lev and Igor,
our favorite Ukrainian bagman. We're all meeting in Vienna. So why were they meeting in Vienna? Well,
good cake.
No, there was an absolutely decent reason that they were meeting in Vienna, and I want to tell you a little bit about it. This is out of Rolling Stone, and Dan Friedman wrote this in October.
Yeah, he would have said good cake.
And this is what he said. On September 29th, Rudy Giuliani appeared on ABC News waving a fistful of papers. Follow me on this. The document in his hand was an affidavit from Viktor Shokin, a former top Ukrainian prosecutor who was fired in 2016 under international pressure due to his failure to combat corruption because he was hired by Vladimir's guy. Giuliani asserted that the affidavit supported his debunked claim that former Vice President Joe Biden had forced Shokin's ouster to prevent Shokin from investigating a company tied to Biden's son. But it did no such thing. The statement merely repeated an unproven allegation without backing it up. The affidavit, though, was evidence that President Donald Trump's efforts to smear his political rival have overlapped with the interests of the Kremlin guy in Ukraine, Dmitry Firtash.
The one and only.
Who is connected with Putin, but is also connected with Russian organized crime, which...
this is like that song about, you know, physiology, you know, the left bone's connected.
Yeah,
to the
that's right.
Bone,
it's all connected here. So so what Giuliani neglected to mention on ABC that day was that this affidavit was filed by in an Austrian court by lawyers of Firtash, the Ukrainian tycoon who has been for years been fighting extradition to the United States, where he faces federal bribery charges. In this document, Shokin claimed that in late 2015, Biden took steps to prevent Firtash from returning to Ukraine from Austria. You know where he's at? Where Dmitry Firtash is at?
Where is he
Vienna,
at?
Austria.
He's there now?
Now, is there a connection between... yes, he's there now. He can't leave. But is there a connection between Giuliani, Lev, Igor, and now Devin Nunes
and
Firtash? Well, you know what? There certainly is. This came out from Reuters. One of the two Florida businessmen who helped U.S. President Donald Trump's personal attorney investigate his political rival, Democrat Joe Biden, also has been working for the legal team of a Ukrainian oligarch who faces bribery charges in the United States, according to attorneys for the businessman and the oligarch. Yes, that's Lev. Not only is there a connection between Vladimir's guy in the Ukraine with being in Austria just at the same time these guys are going to Austria. But evidently, Lev works for him. He currently works for Firtash, who is a direct conduit to Vladimir Putin.
That's terrific. Good case.
Guys, I feel like, oh, Bill and his conspiracy theories. No, think about it. Why are we going to Austria? What do you want to see? The Sound of Music again? I mean, Christ, come on. It's like, how much can you want pastry? So, you know, and so I think that's something we should be paying attention to. Don't you think, Randy?
Well, I do.
Help me out
I
here.
I want to see where that $44 million went.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because
isn't Manafort in jail?
Manafort is in jail. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to be getting a pardon soon. And one of the things we talked about on the last show when you weren't here, or I talked about, was the fact that...
Dude, you talked to yourself. He talked to yourself.
For an hour. It was very...
Oh, Bill.
It was very
Bill,
uncomfortable.
Let me ask you this, Bill. What? Oh, what do you want to ask me, Bill? Oh, you know, it's like you and... It's like you and Shani Lewis talking to a sock.
Yeah, you weren't here. I had a little sock, and I was kind of...
Hello, Randy.
Would you like to hear about Giuliani?
Hello, Billy.
Yes, Bill. Okay.
I can see it now. You look so good.
In a sock.
It's Shani Lewis, yeah.
Shari Lewis and Lamb Chop.
Oh, Shari Lewis.
Shari
yes,
Lewis
yes.
and Lamb Chop. You get it right. Okay, listen. I think that's something we should pay attention to. I think it's too much of
a
coincidence.
A beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yeah,
it is
a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Hey, you know, there was something else that piqued my interest. You want to hear another thing?
It piqued your interest.
So you
yeah.
do, because that's the only way this show continues.
Oh, I do. Yeah, sorry. I'm not a very good feed.
Come on. You got jet lag. That's it. You got jet lag.
No. I self-induced. I just took a whole bottle of melatonin before I got on the plane.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Well, listen,
I got to get through this quickly so
you can get to the rant so you're not asleep.
Hang on. It's my turn.
Yeah?
What? What did you want to say, Bill?
Thank you. Just put that on tape, will you? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Evidently.
Just keep repeating
evidently,
it.
Evidently.
You and your sock.
Yeah, me and my sock. Evidently, Randy.
Yeah.
This came out. It was reported by the Los Angeles, according to Forensic News. Forensic News is a website. It caught my eye. That a guy named Tom Bowers was reported dead by the Los Angeles County Medical Examiner coroner at his residence on November 19th.
Yeah.
Now, you might say, yeah, who cares? Tom Bowers, I don't know him. Well,
I didn't do it because I was in
New York. No, it wasn't you. Okay. The thing is that Tom Bowers is a former Deutsche Bank executive and head of the American of the American Wealth Management Division. Thomas Bowers committed suicide.
Right.
Bowers, 55, was...
Oh, and Jeffrey Epstein,
just listen. All right, listen to this. Bowers, 55, was the boss of President Trump's personal banker, Rosemary Vroblich, whose other clients have included Jared Kushner and Stephen M. Ross. Trump, through... Trump, through Vroblich... used loans from Deutsche Bank to finance skyscrapers and other high-end properties, which were approved by Bowers. Federal investigators had asked about Bowers and documents that he might have in the FBI's investigation of Deutsche Bank, according to sources who has a direct knowledge of the inquiry. Another source stated Bowers would have acted as a gatekeeper for financial documents for his wealthiest clients.
The gatekeeper.
Yeah. He's the one who destroyed, I will bet you, he's the one that destroyed the tax returns. Deutsche Bank was...
Trump's tax returns
were going to be handed over by Deutsche Bank. And they checked, and they said that they didn't have them. They were destroyed. Well, that happens, and then couple days later, the guy is in.
He tops himself.
Guy's in charge of Trump's documents is hanging. You know, by a noose.
Yeah, I know. I know how it goes. Yeah.
So I just went, huh?
And he was the gatekeeper too.
Yeah. He was a gatekeeper, and so that's rather interesting. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying.
Thinking about the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and
what about it?
Zur, you know, the gatekeeper of Zur.
You're talking about Ghostbusters. You're saying shit, aren't you? You know, it doesn't make any difference what I say. You're just going to say
it's a
shit.
Riff, Bill. It's a riff.
They are bananas.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, listen, the other thing that I really liked is the fact that Michael Bloomberg has announced to be president, run for president of the United States.
Didn't we learn anything being the mayor of New York?
Oh, good. And there is a kind of I'm going to show you. This is a clip that I immediately thought of when Bloomberg said he was going to run for president. So I think you'll be able to identify where it's from. Here it is.
30 seconds air, okay. Mr. Burns.
Now remember to smile.
I am smiling.
You'll have to do better than that.
How's this?
There you go.
I'm going to be sore tomorrow.
Well, we've done all we can, Mr. Burns. The rest is up to you.
Oh, don't worry. By the time this paid political announcement is done, every Johnny lunch pail in this whole stupid state will be eating out of my hand.
Yes, Mr. Burns is running for president.
Yes, and Smithers is his chief of staff.
What? Why? Has there been a screaming demand for more candidates? Because right after that, Deval Patrick decided he was going to run. And I'm sitting there going, you guys really are scared, aren't you? They really are. They're fucking scared out of their minds of Bernie and Liz Warren. Evidently, Liz Warren took a dip in the polls lately. And privately, my thing is the polls don't matter that much right now. You know, I'll tell you, the one person that's going steady, you know, he never seems to drop. He's always right there, you know, right in the bunch up top is Bernie Sanders.
He certainly is.
And I really do think that they are so underestimating him. I really do think.
But why are they afraid? If they got behind him, then everything would be terrific.
Well, no, I mean, that's what people are scared of. Because, you know, they really are. I think that people like Bezos are scared to shitless of Bernie Sanders. Yeah, Barack Obama came out the other day.
Said, too far left.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what, Barack? Seriously, you ran as a progressive. He did. He ran as a progressive. He even sat there, you know, and openly talked
about change.
Yeah, change, hope and change.
Yeah, and now we've got somebody else doing hope and change, and he's saying, too far left.
Come on, just hold it down there, guys. Come on, you don't want to get too massively crazy. And I'm sitting there going, Barack, the reason that Trump was allowed to appeal to the working people of the Midwest is because through your 8 years, even though a lot of your stuff would have helped them, it was all blocked by Mitch McConnell. And then you got gun shy. And quite frankly, he caved on single payer immediately when he got into office, but he ran on it. Yep. He ran on it, you know? I think that when people talk about, you know, you don't want to get too far left. You know what? Let's let the voters figure it out.
Yeah.
You know what? Why can't we just let the voters figure it out?
Let's see what happens at the primary.
Let's see what happens at the primary. Make it a fair primary and let everybody vote. Yeah. If you know, I mean, it's
no
like
super delegates.
You know,
and no rigging the elections.
If you're scared that this guy has that much support with supporting policies that you disagree with, and he's getting more people to vote for him, then you got to look at your own policies. Exactly. It's not like you know, no one should vote for that guy. No, no, no. This is a primary. We get to vote with who to whom we want.
Yeah.
And I heard another thing the other day. I was actually on a site the other day in which I was stupid enough to get into an argument with somebody
Bill, you're yeah, never
no,
stupid
no,
enough.
Yeah. You know, I was off my meds. You know, it's like the definition of getting a 2x4 and smacking yourself on the head with it.
Yeah.
But you ever sit there and you just something screams out fucking stupidity so fucking loud that it makes you just crazy? And you allow yourself that dopamine hit of sitting there and say, you know, you're full of shit. You know, and this woman was, you know, sitting there going, Tulsi Gabbard is a Russian Soviet spy and she's this and she's that. And I'm sitting there going, no, she's not. And there's no reason for you to say that. There's absolutely no evidence of this at all. The reason you and your Hillary guys are parroting that shit is what I said five shows ago, is that when Hillary said that, that was the cue for every Hillary bot to go crazy on Tulsi Gabbard. She's polling at 4%. She's not going to win.
No.
But the jihad has been taken up by the cult of Hillary, and now they're just beating the crap out of her. And you know what? I got a problem with that because that woman's a veteran. I think she has a very valid point about endless wars, and I think she has a right to make it on a debate stage in a primary. So if you got a problem with that, go fuck yourself. That's my thing. I'm sorry. Yeah. And that's where more or less I said. And when I said that, they called me a tool of Russia.
Who told you called you a tool
this
of Russia?
This woman, I don't know what she is. I don't know. She's crazy. Yeah. You know, you get sucked into the vortex, and suddenly I'm a red, you know. And then she said I was a red, and then afterwards she started referring to stuff that would only be prevalent to her if she had gone and looked at my Facebook page. And I said, are you that pathetic that you actually, your rage at anyone disagreeing with you was so ardent that you found me on Facebook to insult me personally? It's just like, and then I backed away. I just said, there's a reason I don't do this.
Before there's a knock on the door,
Oh, no, no. But I mean, it's like, you know, I imagine if you met this person in real life, you know, she might be a very nice person.
Probably.
But probably not.
That's what people say about you, but I'd tell them otherwise.
No, I'm not. Thanks, man. Thank you.
Yeah, pleasure.
Cheers, mate.
Pleasure, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, listen.
You want to talk about Black Friday?
I did want to talk about Black Friday, but first I really want to play for you something that that I found. The Bill Show has found, and that is actually the first ad for Michael Bloomberg. This is the first ad. We got it. No one else has it. This is ours.
It was
left
on the backseat of a taxi cab.
That's right. And we picked it up.
A USB stick, yeah.
That's right. It was on a USB stick. Here's the new ad by Michael Bloomberg. Here, listen to this.
Hello, I'm Mike Bloomberg, and I love America. You might wonder why me, Mike Bloomberg, is running for president. Well, the truth is, I was bored. I mean, how much golf can you really play? Not only that, I was playing golf with my good buddy, Jeff Bezos. And it looks like some of these new Democrats want Jeff to pay taxes. Oh, my God. You know, I don't mind telling you that I was shocked and appalled. Appalled and shocked. I was simply, I'd never heard anything like it before. So I got some cash lying around, and suddenly I have a grassroots campaign. So when you vote this year, remember to vote for hope and... well, as little change as you can get, because I don't like change. By voting for me, Mike Bloomberg. Mike Bloomberg. Because what America needs
is another rich white guy.
Yeah, Randy, that was the video. I found
that,
it quite...
That ad is going to... People are going to flock to that, man.
I found it quite moving.
Flock like pigeons in Central Park, yeah.
Quite moving. It's a stirring thing, I think, when rich people finally make the decision to run for office. It's great. I love it. So, folks, that's my bit. Then we do have some topics of conversation we're going to go for during Randy's rant. You've got some stuff to play. So
it's funny. There's some funny stuff, although we're sort of somewhat truncated lately. But
yeah,
we'll get there.
We'll get there. So we'll be back at you after this short break, folks.
Yeah,
with Randy's rant here on the Bill Show.
Bye.
Yes, premiering this fall on the Bill Show Network. They're two mismatched Ukrainian bagmen making it on their own in New York City. Join us for Perfect Henchmen.
I am Lev.
And I am Igor.
And we are two
Wild and Crazy Guys.
Yes, they're two Eurotrash Ukrainian bagmen hot for adventure, romance, and kickbacks in the Big Apple with special guest stars. Rudy as Crazy Uncle Rudy. Be there this fall, Thursdays, 8 o'clock.
We had to struggle with the old enemies of peace, business and financial monopoly, speculation, reckless banking, class antagonism, sectionalism, war profiteering. They had begun to consider the government of the United States as a mere appendage to their own affairs. And we know now that government by organized money is just as dangerous as government by organized mob. Never before in all our history have these forces been so united against one candidate as they stand today. They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
Gentlemen, it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time once again for Randy's Rant.
Rant time, Randy. It's so good to have you back.
Young Willie, well, you know, I was in America, and I was really reluctant to say anything.
To open your mouth about anything. Yeah, yeah.
It's certainly about in my house where my parent, you know, with my father and mother both voting for Trump. You know, and you just, and like, I'd never heard anybody say anything positive about anything political.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Before my dad passed away, he loathed Trump. I lost him this year, and he loathed him. I've never seen my dad actively hate somebody as much, you know.
Well, and
so
my father was a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat.
Yeah,
worshipped
FDR.
Truman.
Because
he was too young, really, for FDR.
Yeah.
He would have only been 15 when he passed away. But he really was a staunch supporter of Truman. And yet to see him be so conservative and racist now, come from?
I bet he left the Democratic Party. I don't think, you know, I mean, he left the Democratic Party because the Democratic Party screwed its base over.
Well, I don't know that he was ever a registered Democrat. My mother says she's a registered Republican, but I don't think she is.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, after Truman, what did you have? You had Kennedy.
Well, you had Eisenhower. She loved
And she loved Eisenhower.
Everybody loved Eisenhower.
He was
a great Democrat for a Republican.
Yes, he was. You know, I mean, he's actually what we call a Democrat today, except he's not even a Republican today. You know, I mean, he's not even a Democrat.
Progressive.
That's what I mean. It's like even the Republicans.
For whatever part.
Even the most Republicans.
He was offered the leadership of both parties. He was offered the leadership of both parties.
Yeah.
When he resigned from the war, they said, run with us. And he ended up choosing to run with the Republicans.
Yeah.
But he could have easily run as a Democrat.
Yes.
And served his two terms there. And he would have had no problems.
See, my father idolized Eisenhower. He really did. Hated Nixon. He met Nixon.
Everybody hated Nixon.
No.
Father's not special.
No, my father was actually in his college days for Taft. And Taft was the opposition to Nixon to become Eisenhower's running mate. And he was at the Astoria Hotel in New York. He was the Boston University Young Republicans for Taft. And when they gave Nixon and let the Taft people down, Eisenhower came to the Astoria where these guys were for publicity to basically mend fences with the Taft people. So he had to, my dad was asked to come up to a room and speak with, you know, Tricky Dick and Eisenhower. Yeah. And he had those photos. And I just went, wow, man, that's the Eisenhower, like the guy who saved Europe, you know. And by the way, he also met Charles de Gaulle. So, I mean, it's like, oh, fuck, you know. It's like
the Niçoise nose, yeah.
I saw Woody Allen on the subway once, yeah. And now I can't even say anything about that because, you know.
Yeah, well, I know you. Listen, look, what about that picture of the most corrupt president ever, and Richard Nixon.
Yes, that's right.
There's a meme out. Of Trump shaking hands with Tricky Dick.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Dick Nixon was absolutely a paranoid sleazebag, a total self-interested sleazebag. But at his core, he cared about his legacy. He deeply cared about what people thought of him, especially in foreign policy. And you know something? Richard Nixon wasn't an idiot.
No,
he wasn't an idiot. You know, he was a shyster. He was a used car salesman, but he wasn't a moron. This guy over here.
He ran Pepsi Cola for a while, didn't he?
Dick? Did he? I think so.
That was one of the things he did
when he retired.
He lost as governor.
Oh, yeah.
He went onto the board of PepsiCo. You won't have Dick Nixon to kick around anymore. Yeah.
You've had a lot of fun. You've had a lot of fun, but. Think what you'll be missing. You won't have Dick Nixon to kick around anymore.
Yeah.
And then off he went. And he might have gone to Pepsi Cola. I don't know. I don't know.
With Mommy Dearest.
Joan Crawford.
She was on the board, yeah.
What's wrong? Yeah. What's wrong, Joan? Okay. Wire hangers.
No wire coat hangers. Okay, I've got some things for you.
Yeah.
In my little rolling rant. I love my rolling rant.
Rolling rant, go for it, dude.
Okay, the National Health Service in the United Kingdom, the NHS, like we call Medicare, whatever, has come out with a sex toy company urging the National Health to prescribe masturbation to patients as part of a wider wellness program.
Oh, it's good to have you back.
To help lower stress.
No, I agree with you.
And that's why the vibrator was invented in the late 1800s.
Medicinal purposes.
Who were weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, but in actual fact, my doctor
said
I should stop masturbating.
Why is that, Randy?
Well, I asked why, and he said it's because he was trying to examine me. But
why are you so politically incorrect all the time?
J- Jamie Lee Curtis.
Why? No, Lee Curtis? Hey. Lay on. Come on. Cut it out. We had to talk about this.
Right. It's not politically incorrect. It's just suggested.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Suggested.
Do you remember Jamie Lee Curtis from Trading Places?
Yes.
You know, and the reflection in the mirror that
set a
whole generation of young monkeys bankers.
And you know the great, great thing about Jamie Lee Curtis, and I will tell you about this, is that she is even now a very attractive woman. She's smart, she's sexy, and she's a fantastic actress. So
and she's come out. Jamie Lee Curtis said she has been attending gay weddings.
Mm-hmm.
As a surrogate parent, because the parents won't attend their children's wedding. No. Jamie Lee Curtis is going. And I was so moved by that, because I've married.
You're a celebrant.
Yeah, a celebrant. I've married same gender couples. And I thought, what a lovely thing, because I know none of the ones that I've married have had any trouble with their parents.
Yeah.
But there are some who do.
I just don't get that. Funerals as well.
They won't go to the funeral of their dead child.
Yeah, that's just madness. Yeah. You know,
it is.
I just don't figure it out. You know, I mean, you know what the bottom line for me is that the value of a person and the what they are and their character has so little to do with what hole they put
their penis in.
You know, I always think that this. I look at people who are in the Christian right, and they just go on and on about homosexuality. I go, do you guys think of anything but sex? I mean, gay people I know don't think of sex and the perversion. They talk about it all the time.
They all come out in the end.
That's
raging
true.
Pedophiles. There's one recent one from Alabama.
Oh, Alabama, Jeffries,
the television televangelist.
No. Yeah.
The televangelist in Alabama, 28 convictions for rape and anything young men and women. Anyway, it's just, and you think, how does that guy get away with it? Why hasn't he been struck by lightning if, in fact, that's what they believe in?
Because it's the old thing. It's the get out of jail free card that is born again Christianity. You can massacre a million people, but if ask to be forgiven, and there you go.
Look at Trump. How is Trump the appointed one? Appointed by what? Appointed by who? He couldn't even get a proper place in line at McDonald's.
I know, but Rick Perry.
Where does that come from?
Rick Perry says he's the chosen one, and when I'm looking for
chosen for what?
When I'm looking for smarts and a good judgment, I'm always looking at Rick Perry.
the only thing Trump is famous for, there's a new Pantone color for his face.
That's correct.
It's kind of like it's called shitty orange.
Yeah, that's right. Get it now. Get it now at your retailers.
Now, here's one for you.
Yeah.
Robert Trump.
Yeah.
Is Donald Trump's brother.
Yeah.
Now, not many people don't notice him, okay?
What's his story?
He received a gift from the older brother last week after a company in which he has a financial stake was awarded a $33 million federal contract to provide security at courthouses. Now, typically this job is done by local police officers or federal agents. But this will now be outsourced to a member of the Trump family.
That is scary.
Isn't that awful?
That is scary. So his own private little jackbooted thugs.
Robert Trump
are now guarding all federal courthouses. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Instead of the local police or federal agents, it now has to be done by somebody that the Trump family has got. Now Donald Jr. He of the idiot Jr. came out and said that in Juarez, Mexico, just south of the border, there were 217 gun deaths, compared to only 45 in New Mexico or something. And that just shows that it is what's on the other side, you know, of the border. And then some guy from Canada came out and said, well, yeah, you know, we've got in Windsor, we had 3 gun deaths. But just across the border in the United States, they had 217. So, yeah, America and Mexico both have a terrible gun problem.
Let me just say this to Canada and Mexico. There's no way there's no way that you're taking our record. There's no way.
No, they're gonna,
we're number one when it comes to gunning down our own people. That's us. We're very proud of that.
Well,
you know, we have a trophy, and for the last 20 years, it's just us. USA, USA, USA. We're very proud.
And more high school students were killed in America last year than soldiers in Afghanistan.
Fuck.
They should be very proud of that. We're bringing it home.
There's an incredible thing I saw. Have you ever watched Tom Hartman?
No.
Well, check him out. Check him out.
Yeah.
He's a very smart guy, and he was talking about the 3 things that signal the end of a democracy and the beginning of an oligarchy. And then he talked a little bit about America being Rome on steroids.
And Nero's fiddling. What's Trump Caligula?
Well, yeah, in a form. But we've had a series of Caligulas. I mean, George W. Bush was Caligula. Yeah. You know, and the corruption and the extension of boundaries and the empire being too big.
Yeah.
All those things, you know, and basically the rot of people not being confident about their government anymore, about the institutions that they have. And, you know, I it was a very sobering thing, because when you looked at one of the causes for Rome, and then you look at what's happening in the United States, you're going, oh, shit, that didn't take long.
Well, 400 years, the Roman Empire was functioning, and they're getting into their 300, coming up on 280 years in America or something.
That's what America said. Hold my beer.
I
can do this quicker.
They're over the hump. Yeah,
we're over the hump. Yeah, we got you handled. What do you got next?
Continuing on. Okay. I'm of a certain age where I really don't give a fuck anymore.
I get that. That's why you're so great to have a podcast with. You just don't give a shit.
youngest daughter is 23, and I'm thinking, wow, at 23... I'd already emigrated to Australia, and I was kind of living on my own. But then I thought, no, that's really not too old.
No.
And then I found this list.
Uh-huh.
I have a little list, as Gilbert and Sullivan said. And these are the ages of people, famous people, when they actually, before they became famous.
Okay.
Tina Fey, one of the greatest comedy writers and screenwriters and actress.
Yeah.
When she was 23, she worked in the YMCA.
Yeah.
Oprah.
Yeah.
At 23 was fired from her first reporting job. Fired.
Fired.
No, fired.
Yeah.
Stephen King.
Was a teacher.
No, he was a janitor.
Really?
He lived in a trailer. Then he became a teacher.
Oh, he lived in the trailer with Tabby when he wrote Carrie.
Yeah, but that's...
Tabby worked at a donut shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At 27, a young man named Vincent van Gogh failed as a missionary.
How do you do that?
And decided to go to art school.
Good man.
Okay, at 27. Mm-hmm. At 28, and I've read this story, and I admire her, J.K. Rowling, Joanne Rowling, was a suicidal single parent living on welfare. And she went to a coffee shop and sat there and wrote The Sorcerer's Stone in longhand in a Starbucks or something in Edinburgh.
You know what she's fantastic? Can I just say... You know, people like her who remember what it was like.
Has lost her billionaire status several times over.
Because she gives her money away. She gives it away, you know? Yeah. J.K. Rowling encouraged an entire generation to pick up something that no one picks up anymore. It's called a book.
To read, yeah.
You know?
That's right.
My students, and I teach kids, not with this mouth, but I teach them. But I teach kids, and I'll tell you
and
how.
I love you for it.
Oh,
yeah.
But how many kids have opened that book and started them
and
on
fell
reading?
In love with reading again.
Reading
yeah.
is the key. Everything else follows. Reading, reading, reading.
But it wasn't, Willie, it wasn't just kids. We were living in the UK. Don't ask me why. It was a midlife crisis. In 2002, when the second book came out.
Yeah.
And all the kids were reading it. The first movie hadn't come out yet, but they were making the second movie. So the vibe for Harry Potter was enormous.
Yeah,
and I would watch people on the train. I used to have to take the train into Liverpool Street every day, and I looked around, and there were these people reading these books, and they had these really strange covers, like really dark film noir covers, like a train, like Agatha Christie. And I thought, what a strange. And then I realized they're actually reading adult covers of Harry Potter books because they didn't want to be seen reading a children's book.
Oh, screw it. I read it.
The whole carriage was full of people reading Harry Potter with adult covers.
It's a great book. It's a great series. Yeah. They're fantastic.
The new ones, the two new series, and apparently the play is incredible.
Brilliant. I've heard great things about it from kids that are now adults.
Here's another one.
Go ahead.
Another one. At 28, Wayne Coyne, the Flaming Lips musician, was a fry cook.
Wow.
At 30, Harrison Ford was still a carpenter.
And he met George Lucas when he was doing work at Skywalker Ranch.
He was doing the a cabana in his backyard or something.
Ah, right.
Martha Stewart, at 30, was a stockbroker.
Yeah, that's about right.
And then she went to jail.
Yeah.
At 37, Ang Lee, who's quite a famous director now, was a stay-at-home dad who worked odd jobs. At 37, Julia Child released her first cookbook at 39.
I love Julia Child.
And didn't have her own cooking show until she was 51.
Well, everybody, now, if you want to put a little butter, butter's always
best. Did you love Julie and Julia, the movie with Meryl Streep?
Yeah.
I could have watched that and eaten the film. It was so good.
PBS, Julia Child.
Yeah.
Yeah, growing
Vera
up.
Vera Wang.
Yeah.
Failed to make the Olympic figure skating team. Didn't get the editor-in-chief position at Vogue that she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And decided to design her first dress at age 40.
Wow.
Vera Wang.
There you go.
Okay, Stan Lee. Do we know Stan Lee?
Yeah.
Didn't release his first comic book until he was 40.
There you go.
The late Stan Lee, who only just passed away last year. The delicious Alan Rickman.
Oh, God, love him.
Mr. Professor Snape. Alan Rickman.
He'll always, for me, be the Mr. Spock stand-in in Galaxy Quest.
Oh, of course. And what about and Die Hard?
And Die Hard. Oh, man.
Die Hard. Oh.
What a performance. You know that moment in the elevator?
He was a graphic designer.
Was he?
Until 42.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gave it up to pursue acting at 42.
Oh, God. And no one sounds like him. No one looks like him. Truly, Madly, Deeply. If you've not seen it, oh, my God, he's great in it. Is just
yeah,
and evidently from all
I auditioned for that film, by the way.
Oh, Jesus, man!
Because I was living in the UK when they.
Right. Well, I mean, it's like every person that I know who's had any dealings with him or knew people that had nothing but great things to say about him. So it's just
some of his films that people haven't like Bottle Shock, you know, about the wine industry. He's just tremendous.
Yeah.
Here's another one for you, Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. He didn't get his first movie role until he was 46.
Right. I know.
That's amazing. Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
The perpetual president. didn't have his first major movie role until he's 52.
I'm Morgan Freeman.
And Catherine Bigelow, Catherine Bigelow, the director,
yeah,
didn't reach international success until she made Hurt Locker at age 57. Now they're getting up into my range.
Mm.
Grandma yeah. Moses?
Yeah.
Didn't begin painting until she was 76.
Mm. That's
and,
good.
Yeah, no. And I mean, these are it just shows that you might not hit your stride. You might not hit your straps.
Yeah.
I'm 66 and I still don't know what I want to do.
Yeah, you don't want to know what to do when you grow up. And that's the truth. Yeah.
And I haven't grown up yet.
And I haven't either. I refuse to. Oh, man, yeah. Look, for 20 years...
Don't grow up, people. It's a trap.
It is a trap. But look, I'm telling you something. And the truth is that both Randy and I made a living pretending.
Yeah. We were actually actresses. We were actors for a long... We actually met at an audition.
At auditions, yeah. Yeah,
I got the part, by the way, and it was.
Yeah, thanks for that.
That was like 30 years ago or something.
Yeah, you're a good actor. You're a really good actor. I've seen your work.
I know, and you're really jealous because even though I only had one or two lines, I got to do them with really famous people.
Yes, I know. I wrote for Australia. You know, the great thing about writing for Australian television and doing Australian television was very good to me financially.
Yeah.
But it really, you know, people say, hey, what have you done? Australian television. Where?
And I tested for something Monday.
Well, I don't do tests anymore. I'm out.
Yeah, well, I'm still in.
What did you test for?
For a U.S. series that's filming here called Clickbait.
Oh, really?
I actually heard about it when I was in America.
What was the role? Don't worry, I'm not going to audition.
Well, no, I was going to say it's actually you.
It's me.
Yeah.
Large, funny person fall down.
No, it was a man whose wife had, you know, had lots of surgery and chemo and radiation.
Oh, yeah,
and everything like that and blood transfusions.
Yeah, and I'll pass on that.
Then they decided to deny her claim because she had a pre-existing condition of a headache.
I don't want to do that.
I channeled you.
Thank you, man.
That's my rolling rant for today.
Thank you very much, Randy.
Robert Reich. I want Robert Reich.
Okay.
We've got 1 year. We've got 1 year.
Is it a sexual thing that you want Robert Reich to do? Fine.
He's a financial guy.
Yeah, I know. Robert Reich is the former Secretary of Labor.
Yeah, he's right on the button that we have 1 year.
Yeah.
1 year to get rid of the Electoral College. And it's not that difficult.
Nope. It's not.
So I'd like you to have a listen to young Robert, because we're allowed to play this because it's... Because
we're commenting on it. We're commenting
on it. It's not a copyright issue.
Creative Commons license. We're copying.
That's us. So have a play of Robert Reich. I think you'll like it.
Very good. Robert Reich on episode... What are we up to now?
244, I think.
Oh, my God. 244 on the Bill Show. Here it is.
Yeah.
While we resist Donald Trump, we also need to make sure our democracy doesn't ever again elect a candidate who loses the popular vote. We must abolish the Electoral College. Now, as you probably know, the Constitution assigns each state a number of electors based on the state's population. The total number of electors is 538. So anyone who gets 270 of those Electoral College votes becomes president, regardless of the popular vote. So how do we abolish the Electoral College? Amending the Constitution is very hard, requiring a two-thirds vote by the House and Senate, plus approval by three-quarters of state legislatures. But we can make the Electoral College irrelevant without a constitutional amendment. Here's how. Article 2 of the Constitution says states can award their electors any way they want. So all that's needed is for states with a total of at least 270 electors to agree to award all their electoral votes to the presidential candidate who wins the popular vote. If they do that, then automatically the winner of the popular vote gets the 270 electoral votes he or she needs to become president. Already, 10 states and the District of Columbia have passed laws to do exactly this, awarding all their electoral votes to the candidate who wins the popular vote as soon as the 270 elector goal is met. Together, these states total 165 electoral votes. So all we need now is some additional states with 105 electors to pass the same law, agreeing to reward all their electoral votes to the winner of the popular vote. And it's done. We'll never again elect a president who loses the popular vote. The effort is known as the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. If your state hasn't yet joined on, make sure it does.
Yes. Robert Reich speaks sense, Randy. We shouldn't be electing people by the electoral vote anymore. I think no, we shouldn't.
It's only been used four times.
Yeah, do you know
twice in recent memory.
You know why it'll never happen, don't you? You do know why? Because the Republican look. The only way the Republicans will win in the future is by gerrymandering and by cheating. They've already cheated twice. You know, I mean, like first of all, I was thinking about Bush versus Gore. That was a stolen election. Totally stolen.
Oh, yeah.
Totally stolen! And
facilitated by his brother, Jeff.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, the only way they stay in power is to cheat. And that's what's happening now. Yeah. I mean, all the... By the way, do you know... Two things happened with the Democrats since last we talked. One,
yeah,
they've ratified Trump's district court judges.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck are we doing that for? And two, the Democrats have voted for an extension of the Patriot Act.
I know.
Now, what the fuck are you doing? You're going to have to explain that to me really closely because that had a sunset clause because you didn't want the executive to have that much power.
Yeah.
And now we have
that goes back to George W. Bush with the Twin Towers.
Absolutely.
And the Pentagon, yeah.
And now we have an executive who's insane and you're handing him that power. Hmm. You want to tell me why the fucking Democratic Party is doing that? This is the thing with the Democrats. This is why. You know why people are pissed off with the Democrats that didn't vote for you last time? Because of chicken shit like this.
Yep.
Because no one believes you anymore. No one believes you anymore. The reason that they left and voted for Trump and stayed home, and they voted for Trump because any man will vote, you know, a man in the desert will drink sand. And the basic thing is the credibility of the Democratic Party goes down a notch every time they do shit like this. Every time they do it.
What about her emails? What about her emails?
What? Hillary's emails.
Benghazi.
Now, I'm talking about self-inflicted wounds. I'm talking wounds of credibility. I'm talking about a Democratic Party that, A, is approving judicial nominees that aren't qualified and nominated by Donald Trump, and a Democratic Party that's extending the most draconian pieces of legislation left over from 9/11 and giving a crazy man the power to snoop on everybody and take people off the street.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, why am I sitting there thinking that the Democrats...
And our DNA and all that kind of shit. You know, that's not just science fiction.
No, it's not. It's not.
Anybody that does those Ancestry.com things, their DNA is forwarded to the government.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not saying that, look, Barack Obama was a decent man. I think he was a decent man. But you know what he did?
Yeah.
He expanded the security state. He expanded. Yeah. Once they get power in the executive branch, they never turn it over without a fight. And now you have a situation in which all that power that they've had, you had a chance to cut that off or write that out and not vote on an extension of the Patriot Act. And Democrats, again, you know, all right, give him that. Give him that. He's a crazy man with nukes, but let's give him more. It's a stain.
Yeah, give him more power, yeah.
Insane. Sorry, I went off on a tangent.
No, that's okay. Billy, it's yours. It's called The Bill Show for a reason.
Well, it's Bill and Randy. And I have missed you.
I don't believe you. I've missed you. Out there really cares.
Ask the guys who are listening to the broadcast. I was sitting here talking to myself. You know?
You did one by yourself, didn't you?
I did two by myself. Yeah, I know you don't listen. You should listen. I could have been saying
shit. You can get money from the NHS for that.
I could have been saying shit about you. You know, yeah, listen. But I was saying
say terrible things about me.
No, I would never say terrible things about you. What kind of man actually
say good things about me?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
What kind of man? ...
What kind of man meets up with his friend every fortnight to do a quasi radio show about obscure politics? And does it every fortnight. And now I just...
Is this Jeopardy? What is Randall Berger?
Who is Randall Berger? Yes, that's right.
I sat there with my mother in America watching the Jeopardy Masters.
Yeah.
And beat them on every question.
Yeah.
And she just about fainted. She goes, how did you know that?
Well, you're smart. You know, you ain't an idiot. But
I just know shit.
I know shit.
Know lots of stupid shit. Too.
That's what it says in your diploma. I know shit.
Yeah, oh shit, yeah. And I write and I know shit.
Yeah, right, you know shit. Well, listen, we better say goodbye to our guys out there listening.
Look how long we've gone.
Yeah, I know.
Just talking about nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. Why?
This is the Seinfeld podcast.
It is. It's a show about nothing.
It's all about nothing.
Yeah. Anyway.
No soup for you.
No soup for me. No soup for you. Anyway, it's great to talk. It's great to talk and have you guys listen out there. Thank you for tuning in. We really do appreciate it.
And we're sorry that we don't have a lot of our usual things like Randy Rainbow, because we're concerned about copyright, and we're going to see if we can...
We're going to pull it in.
We're going to try to get permission.
But you know what? We're going to try to get permission to play Randy Rainbow, and also we're going to start doing our own sketches, so...
I know. Yeah. I can't believe that.
Yeah, because then no matter how crappy they are, we'll own them.
No soup for you.
No soup for you. I think that's copyrighted by some other comic. Anyway, folks, if you want to reach us at thebillshow.net. Everything Bill Show in one place, and you can also
just Google Bill Show and Google the Bill Show.
If you want to listen to any of our past episodes, my God, it goes back to 2012. Go
244.
That's right. expatprogressive.podbean.com. That's expatprogressive.podbean.com. And you will come to our Podbean page, in which you can access over 6 years of this stuff.
I just renewed my patron donation.
Thank you.
In U.S. dollars, but my card number changed.
Randy pays.
They chased me.
Yeah, Randy's one of the sponsors of the show. You know what I mean?
There's three of us. Yeah.
Yeah, three of us. So we'd love a fourth. You know, anybody out there that's been listening for 6 years? Yeah, yeah. Please, sir, a copper. Yeah.
Two coppers.
Yeah, that Dickens character is
and
not
a tuppence, doing. That, a tuppence, yeah.
The Dickens character is not working well for me because I do that. Please, sir, go to billshow.net and press the sponsor button and help an old copper do a slightly insane left wing radio show.
Now you're sounding like Michael Caine.
Oh, no, I can't stop going into Michael Caine.
You're just an EastEnder. You're just an EastEnder.
And I talk like that.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, as Michael Caine would say, goodbye and good luck. And thank you for tuning in to The Bill Show. Good night, Randy.
Good night, Willie.
Good night, everyone
Bye,
out
everybody.
There.
Yeah, see ya.
See you later.